My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful to be gathered together once again in his house to receive his mercy. And as we begin, let us remember this gift of baptism that he has given us. And it's Reformation Day today, so happy Reformation Day. And in keeping with Reformation Day, I want to read a quote from Luther about baptism, dealing with the personal nature of it. And he says, "Tell me, with whom does God speak and deal when you are baptized? Is it not true that this baptism is intended for you alone and for no other person? You derive the gift, the benefit of your baptism, not others. If they want to be benefited by baptism, they must also be baptized personally. But what does God tell you and each person who permits himself to be baptized? This is the promise God gives in baptism. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Again, you are baptized into the death of Christ, into the truth that he died for you, and by his death freed you from all sin and death. How then could God speak in a friendlier way with you and more surely and specifically include your person in his word than he does in baptism?" And so this morning, together, we each remember our own individual baptism when we were, as a person, brought into the family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. We thank you. We thank you that you make it possible for us to be in your presence because of the perfection that you have given us through the death and resurrection of your Son, that his perfect life is credited to us, and that our sins were credited to him, and he died for them, paying the full penalty so that we don't have to pay. Lord, we pray that you would send your Spirit to work in and among us this day. Help us, Lord, hear your word. And Lord, by your Spirit, help us to remember the truth that our sin is covered in you. Help us, Lord, to be able to return praise to you for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins to God our Father. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, we have been forgiven so much. Let us return praise to the God who has saved us.
Oh, morning. Each month we've been focused on a specific hymn, and this month has been All Creatures of Our God and King. We've learned about the history, the scripture, what the verses mean, and today how to apply it to our lives. The poem which St. Francis composed is actually much longer than the version which appears in our hymnals. One particular stanza which appears before the final verse, the one that begins, "Let all things their Creator bless," gives God glory in the manner often neglected, the release from sin that accompanies death. The poem reads, "And thou, most kind and gentle death, waiting to hush our latest breath, O praise him, alleluia. Thou leadest home the child of God, and Christ our Lord the way hath trod. O praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia." Thanks be to God for reminders that even the things sinful people worship, such as nature, and the things they fear, such as death, still work together for the glory of our Creator God.
Good morning. My name is Mike Kennedy, and I'd like to welcome you all on behalf of St. Mark's. It's my privilege to read the first reading today from Paul's letter to Romans. Paul opens Romans and says that he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it's a power of salvation to all who believe. And we need to be in the Word. We need to hear God's Word. But he says that there's people that'll teach that you have to do something to be righteous. You have to follow laws. And so he responds in kind. And now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came to Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mike. It is now time for the children's message, so come on forward at this time, and Miss Lauren has the message for us this morning.
Good morning. How is everybody today? It's so good to see you all. Well, this is an exciting day. What day is it today? It's Halloween, but guess what? And it's your birthday. Wow, it's a double good day. Well, guess what else it is? It's Reformation Sunday. Have you ever heard of that before? Well, good thing it's Halloween, too, because I heard that there was this man named Martin Luther, and he nailed 95 Reese's to the church door. So I need your help, okay? The good thing. So 95 of these we need to count out, okay? So can you think you can help me count? So we're going to count these out. Then if there's anybody from properties here, I need some hammers and some nails. And, okay, perfect. You can help me do that.
Lauren,
and then what we're going to do is we're all going to stand up. We're going to walk out to the door.
Lauren.
Mrs. A, what are you doing here, Mrs. A?
And
why are you dressed like that?
I am actually going to a Halloween party later today, and we're dressing up. I'm dressing up like Martin Luther, and I just happened to hear you talk. You got it all wrong.
Oh, he didn't do 95 Reese's?
No, he did not.
Oh, why don't you tell us a little bit about Martin Luther?
So can you guys pretend for just a minute that I'm Martin Luther? Can you pretend? Okay. Martin Luther, I am going to be 536 years old this year. Looking pretty good, don't you think? 536 years ago. And when I grew up, you had to do good things to get God to love you. That's what they told us. They said, you got to do good works. You got to do. So my dad said, Martin, I want you to be a lawyer. And I said, okay, Dad, because if I was a good kid, I would do what my dad said. So I went to be a lawyer, and I did not like it. I did not like being a lawyer. And one day when I was coming home, there was this huge storm, and I was terrified. And I was like, dear God, please, please, if you save me from this storm, I will become a monk. A person that studies God. Please, please, please. And God saved me from the storm. So you know what I did? I went to be a monk. And that's where I got this cool haircut and this really nice outfit. And I still tried to get God to love me. I tried to sing more hymns. I tried to do more good things. And it didn't work. And one other monk said to me, Martin, and I said, yes. And he said, read the Bible. And I said, maybe I should read the Bible. So you know what I did? I read the Bible. And you know what the Bible said? I don't need to do anything to get God to love me. He already does. And my sins are already forgiven because Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross and rose again, and all my sins are forgiven. I was like, wow, that is so cool. So I nailed 95 theses on the church door so everybody else could know.
And what are theses, Mrs. A?
Theses are just statements or sentences that said what I believe. And so I nailed them on the door so everybody could know it. And you know what? I got in a lot of trouble. People didn't like that I did that, because they wanted people to have to pay money to get their sins forgiven. Is that how it works?
No.
No. So I told everybody the truth, and that was the start of that word that she just said. Do you remember that word, the refer? Maybe they can help. What was that word?
Reformation.
And so I was excited that I could tell everybody the truth about what's in the Bible. So now you know.
That is amazing. Anything else you want to share before you go, Mrs. A. Martin Luther?
Well, one of the things that I really thought was very important is that there was Bibles, but they were in a language that nobody could read. So I said, if I want the people to read the Bible, I have to put it in their language. So I rewrote the Bible in German so all the people could read it. Took a lot of time. Yeah. And I read the whole Bible from the beginning to the end, all those pages, 2 times every year. It's that important. Can you read your Bible?
No.
Yes, of course you can. Can you have somebody read it to you?
Yeah.
Yes. Would you like to have a nice haircut like this? No, don't do the haircut, but do read your Bible and have a nice time. I'm off to my party.
Thank you, Mrs. A. Can we give her a hand? Have fun at your party. Oh. Well, it's amazing how God used everyday people to do extraordinary things, and it was so fun to hear about Martin Luther and the Reformation. We can't wait to hear more about it today, but let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you have used different people, that you used your word to teach us that only you can save us, not our good works, not anything we do, but through you and your grace and your Holy Spirit, Lord. Please be with us today. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you so much.
Right, kiddos, thank you so much for coming up. It is now time for a little worship, which is 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross. And looks like Maria has the children's message today. All by yourself, Maria?
I'll be with her.
Okay. Oh, Lauren's going to be with her. Okay, very good. That's awesome. That's a lot of kids for one person. That'd be intense. All right, outstanding. Folks, let's open up our Bibles again. The sermon text for today on this Reformation Day is John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Jews who are following Jesus here, there's a lot of confusion going on. It's a little hard to follow even if when you really look at it. It says to the Jews who believed in him, so these are Jewish people who were following Jesus and I guess believed what Jesus was saying, but Jesus always, asking the question that gets to the root of the problem that the people don't even know they have yet. You understand? You know how Jesus does this? And Jesus looks at these Jewish people who are following him and he says, if you hold to my teachings, and the word in Greek is a really great word. It's if you abide, if you live in close proximity to my word is really the better like a translation or interpretation of this text here. It says, if you cling to my word, if you live with my word, if you stay with my word, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the Pharisees or the Jewish people were bothered by this because they were God's people, right? The holy nation, the God's holy nation, the people chosen by God to be God's people. And they're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We will be free if we do this because we're already free. We are already God's people. And what do they point back to as evidence of the fact that they are God's people? They say, we are Abraham's descendants. And then it gets really confusing because, and we have never been slaves of anyone. Now, this is a little perplexing. Who was occupying Israel at the time that these words were spoken? The Romans. Were the children of Israel free? Not in any real sense, right? When they became the nation of God, they were living in Egypt. What position were they occupying in the nation of Egypt? Were they free? No. Throughout the book of Judges, the children of Israel were oppressed by many nations, sometimes taken over, and they had to drive a nation back out again. So the refrain over and over again throughout the book of Judges is that the children of Israel were often not free. So there's a little selective memory going on here at best, just plain not dealing with reality at worst. But the point that they're trying to make is still there. They say we are already free because we are children of Abraham. And is that what God wanted them to think? Is that the truth that God had for them in the Old Testament? And God, the reason Jesus pointed to them and pointed this out to them and said, listen, if you cling to my word, if you abide, if you remain in, if you stay with my word, live every day with my word, you will know the truth, is because God's truth is given in his word. And it's so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy for us to put our faith in the wrong thing. If you follow groupthink, if you follow, some leader, some preacher, some person, rather than God and his word all by yourself, it is so easy to lose touch with God's most important truths. And what I want you to understand about Reformation Day is that this is exactly what was going on in the church of Martin Luther's day. The church started with God's word. But little by little over time, there were deviations from his word, some of them well-intentioned, some of them not. And they began to drift from God's word and drift into other teachings, teachings that came from tradition, teachings that came from, basically church meetings, like councils and then even like bishops and popes would come out with new teachings and they would be accepted by the church. And little by little, things drifted away from what God originally intended. To the point that at the time of Martin Luther, because the Pope was trying to build a cathedral in Vatican City, he needed money. And as a fundraiser to build a church, they decided to forgive sins for a price. This was a very popular program. It was popular for the church because they got money. It was popular for the people because you got forgiven without having to make any real change to your life. You could sin and just pay a little bit of money and you could be forgiven. You could even pay to have somebody who had already died be forgiven. You could pay, and the church was willing to take your money. And this was considered fine, even good. Well, Martin Luther was reading the scriptures, and he came upon passages who said that we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace and grace alone. And as he read God's word, it bothered him. It bothered him to see things happening in the church that were not reflecting God's word. And so he spoke up. And as you heard in the children's message, people weren't happy about it. Nobody was happy about it. Indulgences were popular. They were easy forgiveness for the people and money for the church. And all of a sudden we have this monk standing up and calling foul and causing trouble. But Jesus' answer remains, if you hold my teaching, if you abide in my word, you are really my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so I say, well, what is that truth? And here's the truth that Martin Luther discovered. He discovered that in the Bible, there's truth, God's truth. And God's truth starts with law, that God in his Bible has written expectations, especially the Ten Commandments. But there's you know, Jesus in the upper room on the night before he was on the night which he was betrayed, where he gave a new commandment: love as I have loved you. He tells us what he expects, and then what are we supposed to do with that? I mean, according to the Catholic Church at the day, what we were supposed to do with that is we would work very hard to do those things, because these being God's expectations, if we do these things, we can appease the God who is angry with us. And perhaps we can earn his mercy. Is that what God's law is about? Well, we can read in the Romans passage. He says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Well, that starts to sound like we better toe the line. But he says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Guys, I think it's important for us to understand exactly what sin is about. I think a lot of times we start to think that sin is just the things that we do wrong, right? Like, if I disobey my parents, that's a sin, and it's just a thing I did. But sin goes a lot deeper than that. Sin is a condition. Sin is an addiction. When we are in sin, we have this gravitational, this magnetic, this invisible, but yet very, we feel it all the time, attraction toward doing wrong things. We are drawn into sin because of the sin that is already in us. It is a disposition that lies within us, goes right to the very core of our being. Sin just makes sense to us. You know, if somebody does something mean to me, what should I do about it? Well, do something back. I mean, what are you going to do? Be a doormat? Let somebody walk all over you? I mean, if you do that, you're just going to invite more abuse. Why would you do that? You got to stand up for yourself, right? It just makes sense. It's just not what God says. And if it's not what God says, it's sin, but it makes sense. But what do you do with that? How do you make that work in your life? You know, if you don't have enough and your neighbor has way more than they need, doesn't it just make sense to even things out a little bit? I mean, they don't even need it all. Well, except is that what God says, right? And you see how this works is that we can talk ourselves into sin. And it makes such great sense to us because our minds themselves are full of sin, deceived by sin, and that I love the people that like to point at the devil and say, the devil made me do it. The devil tried to make Jesus sin too. Did he succeed? No. So can the devil make you sin? Why is the devil so successful with us? Because we are willing participants. We like the sin. We like the shortcuts. We like the easy answers. It just makes sense to us. So guys, when we talk about sin, we're not just talking about a list of things we did. When we come and confess before God that we are sinful and guilty, we're not just saying that we did a few things wrong. What we are confessing and saying is that we are sinful to the very core of our being, that we are friends with sin, that we like it, that it makes sense to us, and that we are friends with it. And then the question is, well, how can we be free from this sin? And God, Jesus tells us in Scripture, he says, listen, sin's like marriage. Okay, I'm not trying to diss on marriage here, okay? That's not what the point is. But the point is this. He says, sin is like marriage in this way, that once you are married, you are connected to that person for how long? For life. Well, here's the problem with sin is that if you are connected to sin for life, it means you will be free from sin as soon as you die. Problem. If you die in sin, where do we go? We've got a problem here, right? I mean, there's a serious issue here. So how can we be freed from sin? If I am married to sin, how can I be freed from it? God has an amazing answer. His answer is this. Let me die for you and receive my death in baptism. Now, who here knew that baptism was a funeral service? I mean, full on is though. Because in baptism, our old lives, our old self, Luther calls it our old man is killed. It is... In the words of Scripture, we are buried by Christ, or we are buried by baptism into death, into the death of Christ. We are buried with baptism into death. And just as he was raised from death, we also receive new life. So in baptism, our old self is killed and our new self is reborn, and we are made new. New beings. And what have we done to make this happen? Is it because we did the good work of being baptized? No, it's sort of like taking credit for sitting down at a Thanksgiving dinner and eating. Try that. Say, Mom, I did such a good job eating this meal. I think I get credit for this meal. No, she ain't going to take that. I mean, she definitely did the work, right? And the same thing is true in baptism, is that when we get baptized, when we allow ourselves to be baptized, it is God's holy work that is done. You know, some person pours water and says the name of God, but it's not the person that is doing this incredible miracle of killing the old person and bringing forth a new person, giving you new life, being born again into the faith, that is all being done by God. And this law that God gives us, what this law is there for, in the words of the text, is it is there to push us into a place where we understand that there is no other way to be saved. That we're just so messed up, that the sin goes too deep in us, that we can't make, you know, we have so much about freedom in our country, right? And we chafe at the idea of anybody taking our freedoms away from us. And so we really are into, I make my own decisions, right? And I ask you, do you have freedom of choice? Can you choose anything you want? And if that's true, let me tell you this, stop sinning. If you can choose anything you want, stop sinning. Can you? So do we really have freedom of choice? Or do we just have freedom to choose the sin? You know? And so what God has done is he has given us freedom. He has given us freedom, not freedom of choice, not freedom by choice, but freedom by his grace, freedom by his love, freedom that saves us without us being involved in any way other than that we allow him to save us. That we show up where his grace is given, that we show up in church and hear his word, that we show up and read his word in the Bible, that we show up, receive his sacraments, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, these sacraments that are given to us by which God continues to strengthen us. Guys, this is what it's all about. It's all about this Christian life, the life of receiving the grace that God has already provided for us. And never, ever allowing ourselves to drift from the truth of the depth of our sins, so that we start to trust in our own righteousness, that we start to think that somehow we are actually good, that we are somehow maybe even better than somebody around us, but we know the truth, and the truth is that we are all unbelievably messed up, but that we are at the same time perfect, declared righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross and the forgiveness that we have received through the faith that the Holy Spirit brings us through his word. And we cling to that word so that we never lose sight of the truth that sets us free. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for all the people who have come before us, Lord, the people who have struggled, the people who have sometimes even suffered, Lord, to make it possible, Lord, for your truth to continue today. Lord, thank you that you have preserved your truth so that we have it in written form, Lord, your holy word. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us and grow us, Lord, to help us understand you better, understand your grace, understand your will for us, and understand how it is that we are to live our lives in a way that brings you glory for all that you have done for us. Hold us to yourself, Lord, when we are too weak to cling to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to always be remembering that just as so many people came before us and struggled to keep your word alive, to keep your word in our hearts, Lord, to keep your word in our culture, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to do that very same thing so that the next generation of people will also hear of you, of your unbelievable grace and the life that you have for us, Lord, especially that eternal life. All this we come before you and pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, my friends, let us continue our worship by singing the song Always. Please stand as we sing.
Let's sing your praises.
Let us now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, as our tradition at St. Mark's here, on fifth Sundays, we have prayer and care. And so at this time, I want to ask those who have volunteered to pray this morning to come forward. And the rest of you, the way this works is this. If you have individual things that are bothering you or are worrying at you, they can be wonderful things. They can be celebrations in your life. They can be the things that are burdening you and holding you down. They can be concerns that you're carrying for a brother or sister in Christ. They can be any of those things. Please, at this time, be welcome to come forward and pray with one of the people up here. Also, if there's anybody who doesn't want to be up front here, we do have a couple of people who are going to be in the prayer chapel back there who will also be willing to pray.
Could be Jesus came forth to Lord Almighty,
Such a wonderful blessing to have those intimate times of prayer and bringing our needs before God. And I thank the people who are volunteering to come forward and to do those prayers. It's a real service to your Christian family. My friends, let us stand as we pray together to our God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us this ability, this right to come before you and be heard by you, and that you have promised to hear us. It's truly insane. Every time I think about it, the idea that the God of all things, the one who made everything and holds everything together, hears us, hears me when I pray to you and promises to hear me. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your church as we move forward in faith and in service to the people that you have given us to love. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us passion, that you would give us opportunity, Lord, to do your work in this community and within our body, Lord, and throughout the world as you give us opportunity. Help us, Lord, to be passionate and take advantage of all these opportunities, Lord, so that your ministry can be done in the way that you want it done, in the love that you have given us. Lord, I pray for a couple of young couples who just were joined in marriage over the last couple days, for Sean and Kaylin Arthur, and for Michael and Rachel Rachel Kraft to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with these young people, Lord, as they begin their lives together and in your blessed by the marriage and under your expectation, Lord, and under your blessing. Lord, I pray that they would stay close to you, that they would cling to you, abide in your word, so that their marriages can be based upon your grace and your forgiveness and your truth. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those in our ministry who are working with people, Lord, teaching them about you, about your forgiveness, about your grace, Lord, starting with the little lambs, the infants, and going all the way up to the eighth graders. And Lord, I pray that you would bless those teachers, that you would bless the students, that you would bless their parents. Help them, Lord, to continue to grow in you, Lord. And I pray for all the families of our church, all the young people, especially those who are just now getting to the point where they are heading out into life on their own through college and then through their first jobs, that they would continue to cling to you, to abide in your word, to live with you in their lives so that they can be strong, so that they can be the people of God that you have called them to be. All these things we bring to you this day. Oh, Lord, we also pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are struggling with illness, with disease, with injuries, that you would give them strength, that you would give them patience, Lord, that you would give them peace in their suffering, And at the same time, Lord, bring them healing so that they can return to the work that you have given them. All this we bring to you, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Surrender to Christ. holy, 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 I want to see you.
In today's text, God says, abide in my word. And that is a very big part of what this is. This is God's word attached to earthly elements, giving us something far beyond what is normal, that we receive God's body and blood, and through it, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as God's promise is true, as we can trust in what he says, depart in his peace and in his joy, amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing one final song of praise to our God this morning.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil the water we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come and made us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. Build your
Have a seat, my friends. We do worship an amazing God, don't we? He is, yeah. Anyway, a few announcements I got for you this morning. God's been working in the school. You know that TJ Pizza sale that I did such a great job marketing with such passion and zeal? Yeah, that one. We set a goal for 800 pizzas that we would sell, or 800 items that they would sell in that. They sold 1,400. So, Mr. Denning is dressing up like a hot dog and getting squirted with condiments. It's going to be very fun. We will take video and show you. It's worth it. All right, very good. Also, the chapel offering for quarter one in the school chapel was $302.99 that went to My Life Pregnancy Resource Center. So praise God for God working through our little ones. And it is. It's an amazing thing. I you know what? I feel bad. I feel so bad so many times because I feel like you guys are missing out on all the ministry that happens here day after day after day after day. And you know, if it weren't for COVID and, you know, security stuff and everything, I'd tell you, stop in and, like, watch the school sometimes. But that would be, like, creeping and probably not good. So we'll bring you photos and videos as much as we possibly can. Let's see here now. Dying to Donate at Camilla's is tomorrow. And I'm going to try to get there. I have no idea. There's a lot going on tomorrow night. And then let's see here now. Individual prayer in the prayer chapel. And oh, the other thing is the Dine to Donate at Camilla's tomorrow is to support our Guatemala mission. And just so you know, we have been continuing to support Guatemala through the whole COVID time. Up until now, I think we've sent like $3,000 or $4,000 down there for food so that our wonderful Nils, our man on the ground in Guatemala, he's using that money, goes out and buys food and takes it to the people in his community so that they have something to eat. Otherwise, they really wouldn't. So it's really important that we did that. Here's the next thing, and this is a really big deal to me. We've been looking for opportunities to serve in the St. Louis area. We've got lots of service opportunities here in Eureka and in northern Jefferson County, and we have great mission opportunity in Guatemala and the Navajo Reservation. But as far as like that middle ground, you know, the St. Louis region, we really haven't had anything for a while, basically since Otis passed away. And so we have a connection now with Salem Lutheran Church in Florissant. And I asked them if they had had anything that we could do, come alongside them and help them. And the way we do missions here at St. Mark's is we come alongside another mission in a way that helps build relationships between that church and their community. Because if we come in and try to do ministry to their community, we're like hit and run. We leave and they're like, what just happened? But if we can build relationships between the people in that community and that congregation, we can leave them stronger and better able to do God's work. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're invited to help them with their Come to the Manger. It's like a living nativity type thing. And so they're going to need like Roman soldiers and guides and townspeople and innkeeper and, you know, all these different, you know, things. And we've got lots of costumes and they're going to have some things. There's actually two different ways that you can help out. You can help out by giving your time and actually going up there and being part of this event. Or you can also sign to bring something that they need. Like there's a whole bunch of items that they're going to need to carry this off. And so read over the list. It's all going to be online. As soon as I can get Leslie to put it up, it'll be online and she will, and it's got all the different things that you need. You can sign up for bringing whatever item. There's dates on there for the event. There's dates on there for like rehearsal. So we can go up there and they can introduce us to everything. You just have to go to one of the three different times. And it's going to be a great opportunity to invest ourselves into the life of another congregation. So help them do God's work. So I'm really excited about it. I really hope that we're able to take advantage of this opportunity to serve. All right, that's all I got for you today. So what? Oh yeah. Nominations for both elders and for board of directors. If anybody has anybody that they'd like to put forward to serve on one of those boards, please let us know. And we're always willing to take school board too, because we're always, you know, looking for people to serve in so many ways. Let's see here. The other thing that I was thinking was, Oh, prayer in the prayer chapel after the service. The elders, we always have an elder available, even if I forget to announce it. Okay, we have an elder available in the prayer chapel after every service to pray with you if you desire individual prayer. With that, God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back.